Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:08, unless I'm misreading this, as I understand it, linemen and trucks all the way from California, all the way across the country, sent to Florida pre-stage to help them restore power. They're up against it after Milton. We come back, we're going to talk to Brian Trasher, Vice President of the United Cajun Navy. They're already staged in Florida. We'll see where he is, what they went through last night, and what the next steps are when we come back here on WWL. Sunny and nice today, and then really nice next week. They got the real first cool front of the season coming through. That means on Wednesday, which would put us at about October the middle of the month, I guess, around there. I don't have the date open in front of me. But anyway, highs of only 70 on Wednesday. 16th. That'd be October 16th. So a little bit early for October. Brian Trasher joins us now. He's in Florida, Vice President of the United Cajun Navy. How are you doing, Brian?
Well, I love doing radio because nobody can tell that I've been up all night.
Yeah, Brian, I got to tell you, I was watching it last night. I was talking to Mike Strain about this earlier, and my heart just went out to the people in Florida. I was watching the, I think they said 100 tornado warnings yesterday alone, and I was thinking about if that had happened here, God forbid. And that's coming on the heels of Helene, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Milton was, we know how powerful of a storm it was as we watched it go through the Gulf, but it's almost like it sent a recon team of, like, the baddest Marines ahead of it, and that's all the tornadoes. I mean, there was hundreds of them. We started getting reports from around the Vero Beach area, just getting pictures of structures being torn up, and then other cities around there with just bad tornadoes. If you go to United Cajun Navy on social media, we had one of our storm chasers was going down a highway, and a tornado came across the highway and flipped over an 18-wheeler, and they were actually, our storm chasers and some good Samaritans were able to pull the truck driver out of his cab and get him to safety, and he's fortunately escaped with minor injuries.
And for people that don't know, Vero Beach is on the Atlantic side of the Florida Peninsula, not the Pacific side, where Milton made landfall, so that would be in advance of that. Where are you this morning, Brian?
So we have I'm over in Ocala, and we have teams that were pre-positioned here and you know they're already overnight, especially when we saw the Tropicana field roof get blown off. That's where all the first responders were posted up. So we haven't communicated with them, but we're assuming that might cause some delays, and we're already getting support tickets from St. Pete all the way to Lakeland with people talking about water in their houses. So we've dispatched our swift water team to several areas to try to investigate and see if we can help some people.
How does that go? First of all, let me go back to Milton for a second. It came in as it relates to Tampa near south of Tampa. Was it Sarasota that it came in near?
Yeah, it was like Cedar Key or Siesta Key, whatever it was. Doesn't really matter. But yeah, Sarasota would be the major metropolitan hub.
But it does matter because it pushed the water out of Tampa Bay, not into it, correct? The storm surge?
Well, as far as like the direction of the wind as it passed Tampa Bay did do that. It sucked the water out and pushed it in.
Because otherwise,
it doesn't matter where it makes landfall. I'm saying the storm that size is you're going to have the destruction in a wide area.
But had it not jogged slightly to the south, Tampa would have been really in deep trouble because it would have pushed all that water from Tampa Bay in with the storm surge, right?
Correct. And Tampa, downtown Tampa, does have a lot of water, but you're right. It would have, it went in the right direction as far as if you live in Tampa. You would not want Tampa Bay to be inside the city. You want it to stay where it's at.
Yeah, you're right. Right direction being a relative term. Tell me how you go about managing all of this, Brian. I know you guys have a pretty organized effort. How do you pre-stage? Who's involved in this effort? Where are you getting, as you said, tickets from? What does that mean?
So we have incredible volunteers that are manning basically all the social media platforms that we're on. We'll get direct messages, we'll get emails, people that get, you know, numbers of key members of our organization will get text messages. And so we'll vet them out and then give them to people that are in charge of dispatching to our teams that are in the field. We use a system called 911 iNet, which is like a radio phone, cell phone hybrid that operates on a lot of different frequencies, and we can also see the positions of where our teams are, and we can also communicate with aircraft in the area. And so that is how that gets dispatched, and it seems like it's really organized, but we always like to say we're good at making the Hindenburg look like a normal on-time blimp landing. It just sort of comes together.
What was last night, like last 24 hours in Florida, like for you and the team?
So, you know, like everybody else, we were pre-stage watching as Milton came in, and last night we saw when it made landfall. But it was really around that time when we started getting those calls from the East Coast, which was a little perplexing at first because we knew that the hurricane was making landfall on the West Coast, but it turned out it was all those tornadoes, and all hell started breaking loose. And again, tornadoes is just not one of those things you can really prepare for in the sense that, you know, it's just a short warning time. Hurricane, you know it's coming. You have time to evacuate. A lot of those people on the East Coast didn't evacuate because they figured it wasn't going to be as bad by the time it got to them, but they weren't counting on all these twisters. One of the meteorologists told me it was the biggest collection of tornadoes they've ever seen in the state of Florida at one time.
When I heard 100 in one day, that just astounded me because, you know, when you have a tornado warning, that's a pretty big deal, and to have 100, I guess the phone was constantly going off.
Correct.
So you mentioned about rescuing the trucker in Vero Beach, which is, again, on the eastern, the Atlantic side of Florida, the peninsula. The Cajun Navy, I think people tend to think it's just about boats and rescuing people from flooded houses, but you guys do a lot more than that, right?
We do, and the truck driver incident was actually closer to Fort Pierce, but still, yeah, in North Carolina, we've used aircraft before for aerial surveillance and supply transport, but in North Carolina, we had to stand up the biggest air operation we've ever done. We had over 100 different aircraft, both fixed and rotary wing, that were flying supplies into these mountain towns that were washed out and flying people back out to safety. And, you know, we've also become a big logistics organization. We had three warehouses in Baton Rouge, and actually I had to go lease a fourth one the other day because we had so much stuff coming in. We literally had just Gaylords in boxes outside of the warehouse. And fortunately, it didn't rain this week. God smiled on us, because if it would have, a lot of stuff would have gotten ruined. But we got the other warehouse, and we're steady filling up a fourth one now. So, it's going.
Did you guys get any sleep at all the last couple of days?
I mean, we got a few hours here and there. Our storm chasers, those guys are insane. I don't think they sleep ever. Mm-hmm. They're there, you know, every time the storms make landfall, they're right in the mix of it. But yeah, we try to get, you know, people in different shifts so you can get sleep for a few hours here and there. I think I slept from about central time, probably like 2 to 4, and then again from like 5 to 6, and it's back up again doing media hits for us.
All right, let me take a break. You can take a little 4-minute nap here, Brian, if you want. When we come back, we'll talk about what people can do to get involved and what your day is going to look like, what the Cajun Navy's day and days ahead are going to look like. We're talking to Brian Trasher. He's the vice president of the United Cajun Navy. He spent the night in Florida. 100 tornado warnings yesterday alone. You can only imagine, because, you know, your phone goes off when we have one here, what that must have been like. 720, more when we return. Traffic now, WWE.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Brian Trasher, Vice President of United Cajun Navy. Nice to take some time to talk to us. Brian, first of all, before we run out of time, what can people do if they want to help you guys out?
So we always say time, talent, and treasure. If you got the time to give, we'll put you to work as a volunteer. If you have talent, you're a medical professional, you're a construction professional, legal, whatever, we'll use your talents to help people that are in need. And treasure, if you have the means to donate, then we'll take your donations and get the to the people that need them most.
How do you
and we're at www.unitedcajunnavy.org, and we're on all the big social medias just under United Cajun Navy. And beware, there's some fake Cajun Navies out there who just kind of troll our posts to, and they try to siphon the donations off. So just make sure that you're dealing with United Cajun Navy, the only legit Cajun Navy organization left.
And I'm not trying to be stupid, but it is two N's, Cajun and then Navy?
In the website. We also just got a domain, louisianimals.net. That might even be more confusing to spell over the radio.
But. All right, well, let's go with United Cajun Navy, C-A-G-U-N-N-A-V-Y, two N's. Don't let that throw you off. So what's your day going to look like today, Brian, and that of the Cajun Navy?
So personally, I'm in charge of our air operations. We're talking with the Governor's Aviation Board as well as the FAA. They call them FISDOs, Flight Operations Centers, in Tampa and Orlando area. And pilots will understand what I'm talking about. You have to get discrete squawk codes when you're flying emergency operations. So I'm making sure all of our aircraft have the correct squawk codes and are getting clearance to fly into the damaged area. They don't want just looky-loos and photographers around. They want to hold it for emergency ops. We have a lot of aircraft scrambling out of Destin right now. Tampa airspace is probably getting close to being below 30-mile-an-hour wind, so it'll be safe for them to go in there. Other than that, our folks are going to be just directing our teams and supporting our teams on the ground, trying to help folks. And we pushed out over 100 semi trucks out of Baton Rouge for North Carolina, and we're going to push at least that many out of Baton Rouge for Florida. And a lot of them are already on the way.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I didn't put it together that you guys are also involved in North Carolina with Helene. Do you have any idea on how many people might be stranded or in flooded neighborhoods, flooded houses, et cetera, at this point, Brian?
In Florida, no, it's a little too early to tell. I know that we've had probably at least, the last time I looked, 2 or 3 dozen support tickets with people that were either in some kind of flood water or stranded because of trees down either in the house or across the driveway street, things like that. And so we also have our guys in the field have chainsaws and gasoline and all that kind of stuff.
So if somebody wants to help, they go to UnitedCajunNavy.org and they can volunteer time, talent, or treasure, right? Is that how you phrase it?
That is correct. That's a phrase I have to give credit to. It's a phrase I stole from Xavier Cole, who's the president of Loyola University New Orleans. So if he hears it, I want to make sure I give him credit.
Well, I don't think he made it up, honestly. I think that goes back a long, long way. But either way.
I don't know. He's a smart guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your efforts and your time and the sacrifice.
Thanks.
And, man, those people are going to need your help. God bless y'all, all right?
You got it.
Thanks for taking the time. Maybe we'll check in with you again next week, Brian, see how it's going, all right?
Please do.
You got it. Brian Trasher, Vice President of the United Cajun Navy. Their work is ahead of them after the people in Florida struggled with the aftermath of Milton. And again, I don't know if you're like me, but if you were watching that yesterday and looking at 100 tornado warnings yesterday alone in the state of Florida and imagining if that thing had come here, holy moly moly. Thank goodness it didn't. And you almost have survivor's guilt, although we have taken our turn with storms and you just wish nobody had to put up with them. Hurricane season runs till November 30th, and as Brooke Laser told us yesterday, the concern is not off of the Atlantic now. The concern is in the Bay of Campeche and that basin down there and watching lows that develop and then quickly spin up into powerful storms as did Milton, and let's hope we don't have any more of that. We'll talk about the Governor Landry's tax reform plan when we come back with Will Green, President and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:39, 21 till 8. Newell had an interesting interview yesterday, Newell Norman did, with Governor Jeff Landry. The governor and I would get along a lot better if he would stick to fiscal conservative issues like Republicans used to do and not worry so much about the social hard-right MAGA stuff. But we're going to talk when we come back about his new tax plan with the president and CEO of Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. And if you wanted to hear what Newell and the governor had to say, all you have to do is go to WWL.com. You can do that for that. Not, don't do it now. Do it later. Listen to what I have to talk about with Will Green when we come back, but then you can go and listen to Newell's interview with the governor. You can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. Listen all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. You can download the Odyssey app, follow me, Tommy Tucker. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for this show or any of the WW shows you love, like Newell Norman's. You can download the free Odyssey app today. Take control. Tell your smart speaker to play WWL. One interesting feature is the rewind thing that goes back 24 hours, and if you rewind to like 10:10 yesterday, you can hear Newell talk to the governor. But don't do it now. Do it later. Right now, you can stay tuned to us, and we'll talk about it with Will Green when we come back on WWL. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, highs of 85. Let me take you through today, October 10th, and then into the good news. No rain, nothing but sunshine, lower humidity, highs of 85 today, 83 Friday, 83 Saturday, 86 Sunday. Monday is going to be warm, highs of 89, but then cold front comes through, highs Tuesday of 78, and highs Wednesday, the high temperature only 72 degrees, so that's going to feel good. What's the outlook for the governor's tax proposal plan? Is it sunny or not? Well, let's find out as we talk to Will Green, president and CEO of Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. How you doing, Will?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
I heard the governor yesterday on with Newell Norman, and he's a smart man, and it's a very complicated thing when you go about fixing the tax situation in Louisiana. First of all, for context, it is broken without doubt. Accurate?
Yeah, look, we're, you know, one of the only states in the country. Well, we're one of three states in the country that has a corporate franchise tax, an inventory tax, and a franchise tax, a corporate income tax, and an inventory tax. We're one of nine states in the country that fully taxes inventory. We have the highest corporate income tax rate in the South. And right now we have the highest, I think, only next to maybe Tennessee sales tax rate in the country. And so, you know, when you have statistics like that, it's tough as a business to grow and expand, and it's tough as a state to attract business here. And so, you know, we need to do comprehensive tax reform in order to be a more attractive state.
Let me ask you about sales tax, because as I was listening to Newell and the governor yesterday, and Newell was talking about, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, it being pushed down to the local level. How, if you change the sales tax structure in the state, how does that affect funding for local governments? And then do they just react by having a higher sales tax per parish? And does that offset whatever you're trying to do?
Well, I mean, I think right now, one of the reasons, and look, if you ask any business, they'll tell you the thing that they want is they want certainty, they want predictability, and they want transparency when it comes to their tax code. And when it comes to, you know, how they pay tax. Louisiana, unfortunately, is anything but. And so, you know, we do have a lot of situations in Louisiana where the locals, some tax certain things, some don't. I mean, you know, pharmacy, groceries come to mind. Some are taxed at the state level, some are taxed at the local level. And so it does create a very complicated structure. You know, right now, Tommy, we're one of two states in the country that still does not have a centralized sales tax collection system. And, you know, I think for that reason, we're missing out on a lot of revenue. I think for that reason, you know, I'm not sure that we're you know, operating as efficiently as we, well, I know we're not operating as efficiently as we should be. And you know, that's one of the ways I think that we can offer, you know, a good solution to business. And so that's, you know, I think, you know, something that we really need to look at and talk about if we're going to, you know, to tackle comprehensive reforms that are going to move the state forward.
Is that in this plan? Because the governor, as I recall Newell asking him that, the governor said that maybe they'd look at it in the future. Is that part of this plan or not, Will?
I mean, I think the plan is, look, it's evolving, and, you know, we're still taking a look at it. You know, I think the governor is efforting to try to, you know, flatten and, you know, make a lot of the rates more uniform, which, you know, hopefully will make it a little bit easier to centralize. But I don't think an actual he has made, you know, an announcement of any, you know, legislation to centralize, which is, you know, which is disappointing. I mean, that's one of the things. If you go to our LA driven strategic plan, we have a tax deep dive. I mean, I think, you know, you started off the conversation today talking about how, you know, how complicated a lot of this is. We do have our LA driven, go to LADriven.org. We have a tax deep dive where we go in and we talk about the ways that we are an outlier and some of the things other states have done to unwind and uncomplicate their tax structure to make them more attractive to business and growth. And again, one of the things that we've advocated for years is a centralized sales tax collection system. And so we would like to see that, but we know it's not necessarily easy to get there.
Well, let's face it. It is a Herculean task full of economic and political ramifications to try to do this. And they got a lot of people that have a lot of different opinions on what should be done, what can you do, the order in which you do it. So let me take a break, and we'll just focus on this one branch when we come back, Will, about centralized sales tax collection, because a lot of people don't have any idea what you're talking about, and we'll drill down on it when we return. Will Green, President and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. As he said, it is an evolving plan, and I think the governor was candid about that as he spoke to Newell yesterday. He and Richard Nelson trying to figure out all of these different ramifications to which I was referring earlier. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 757, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Will Green, President and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, about Governor Landry's tax reform plan. Will, before we get to centralized tax collection, let me talk about the expansion of sales taxes to industries or businesses that don't currently pay them. Does lobby have an opinion on that or not?
So we're looking at that. I think the governor's plan, you know, currently there's about 8 services in statute that are taxed. And I believe the current proposal, and Tommy, we've talked about this, right? I mean, it's a proposal.
Right.
It's not a final plan. And the governor and I think Secretary Nelson and leadership has been very, you know, open about, look, this is a proposal. We're introducing it. We want feedback, what's good, what's bad, what doesn't work. And ultimately we'll take all that and we'll come up with the best possible solution. And so the current plan, I think moves from 8 services to about 40. Mm-hmm. And so we're currently looking at all of those and, you know, kind of figuring out what's the positive and net effect of all of those. And we'll come back and, you know, give the governor the appropriate feedback based on conversations with our members.
And explain, if you will, we got 2 minutes left, why it is so important to LABI that lobby that there is a centralized sales tax collection effort in the state.
Yeah, so we're one of 2 states left, Tommy, that does not have a centralized sales tax. And our outdated, complex, fragmented system it creates an unnecessary burden on businesses. Most states have a centralized collector. We do not, and it's created all kinds of complications, unnecessary costs, and in some situations there's, you know, some conversation, are we out of compliance with a, you know, recent Supreme Court ruling? And so centralizing that collection system would create some cohesion, and it would uncomplicate and unwind a lot of our processes for businesses in Louisiana.
Would you put that, because let's face it, this is a huge task that the governor's taken on, and it's kind of akin, I think, to if you're going to have a statue, you start with a block of marble, then you either start carving things. Maybe that's not a best example, because you might have to add something as well, take some things in, put some things out. Would you want that at the top of the list or one of the top of the items, centralized tax collection? Is that important, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talk to businesses, right, I mean, the main things that the feedback they give us that's keeping them from growing and expanding, right? I mean, it's the insurance crisis, centralized sales tax, inventory tax, franchise tax. I mean, all those things need to be looked at in order to move us forward.
Thank you, Will. Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.